Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Okay, we have a very special guest today. Nobody who watches Fox News could possibly be unfamiliar with the commercials for a very popular product called MyPillow. But wonderful as these pillows may be, how you sleep at night is not our concern right now. I do wonder how many of today's Democrats and liberals sleep at nights, but that's another story. Mike Lindell, the creator of MyPillow, has been in the news recently for refusing to boycott Laura Ingraham's television show. Mike Lindell, welcome to our program.
Hey, Bob, it's great to be here.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Now, why don't you start, before we get into all the contrary, why don't we start by you telling us about your product and how your business became such a success? I hear it's just an unparalleled success.
Yeah, I invented it back in 2004, 2005. I actually had a dream from, God gave me this dream. He actually gave me the dream MyPillow first before the actual product. I wrote MyPillow all over the house and the logo, and my daughter came upstairs. She goes, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm inventing a pillow. It's going to be called MyPillow." She said, "That's really random, Dad." Went back downstairs. And I spent about a year and a half coming up with it. One of my sons and I would tear different things on the deck every day. And when I invented it, we were turned down everywhere. And someone said, "Well, Mike, why don't you do a kiosk?" I said, "Well, how do you spell that?" And we did a kiosk, and we sold about 80 pillows, borrowed money, we're completely broke. And one of the guys that bought one at the kiosk, he ran a Minneapolis Home and Garden show, and he called me up and asked if I'd like a spot in there. And I went in there, and we sold about 300 pillows. And I said, "Wow, at least I got a place to support my family." And for the next five or 6 years till 2011, I made the pillows at night, sold them during the day at these home shows and fairs throughout the country.
Now, this is interesting. You mentioned that it came in a dream from God at first. Usually when we think of dreams right. from God, we think of the nations or missions or salvation. Why do you suppose God gave you a dream about a pillow?
Well, I don't know. It's been a divine appointment. Well, I do know now. It's, I also had, he's protected it, this platform. The platform for the pillow is just a much bigger my calling is a lot bigger than just a pillow. And even though we sold 41 million of them, I've been protected. I was a crack cocaine addict. There was a lot of other adversity I faced during that time. And if we go up to, my drug dealers actually did an intervention on me in 2008 and said they wouldn't sell me anymore unless I went to bed. And they, I'd been up for like 14 days, and here I come back from, I couldn't buy drugs anywhere on the street. It was like 2 a.m. I came back upstairs, and it was one of the worst parts of Minneapolis. I got back upstairs, and the guy goes, he says, "How'd that work out for you?" And I said, and I'm all upset. And he said, he took a picture. He got my phone. He says, "I'm going to take a picture." He says, "You made a promise to us that someday God would give you that this pillow is a big platform, and God's, you're going to come back and help us all. And you're our hope." So those words kind of rang true. I quit about 9 months later and prayed that I could, God would free me of that addiction overnight. And he did. I woke up the next day, and that was in January 16, 2009. And it was, up until in 2009 and 10, then I just spent trying to get my company back. It was taken by some other people. They had taken all my shows and everything. And I ended up doing an infomercial, and that was in 2011. But I was freed of all my addictions overnight in January 16, 2009. But I still, I was going, back in the day, I always had a fear of rejection and unworthiness. I never thought I'd ever be a speaker or speaking in any commercials. What I did, but I was always wearing my cross. I was always, having my cross on, I would actually be in doing drugs, crack houses or whatever, and I would be telling people about you know, things in the Bible and talking about, you know, we should all quit. And the next day they would quit and I would stay on it. And it, some of them would find Jesus, and it was strange to me. I wanted what I was talking about. It was like, I was trying to convince myself. But anyway, in October, I guess we got to include this too. Nobody would take the, I started getting my company back I was just doing shows and fairs, and I said, well, let's bring My Pillow right to the people. And we ended up doing an infomercial. And the night before we did it, I did a read, and the producer said, this guy's the worst we've ever seen. He said, he can't go on TV. Cause I couldn't do a read off this script. Well, the next day we did it with a teleprompter, without a teleprompter. And just naturally, just whatever it said, it was a real audience, and I was scared. I'd never been so scared. And then we went from 5 employees to 500. It aired October 7th, 2011, in the middle of the night. And it aired then at 3 in the morning. And we went from 5 employees to 540 days. It just exploded. And My Pillow became so big in 12 and 13 and, but by the summer of 14, I met this gal. We were within 2 days of going under at My Pillow, and I had a lot of things happen in between there that we don't have time to talk about. But I met her, and she had something that I didn't. She had this this relationship with Jesus. It was like, and it's what it was different than when you know. I go, yeah, I believe in God. I believe in God. Well then. At that same moment in time, she was always praying for the company. We did a 1 and a 2 minute commercial, and he said, well, Mike, you need to be in it. And we started getting at that point in the spring, things started happening again then, or in the fall, I mean, and we just started getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I started seeing miracles in 2015, 16, 17, instead of me praying when things got bad, that I would pray for, God, please help me get me out of this. Help me get me out of this. All of a sudden I was seeing in Kendra, and it got up until February 18th of 2017. That's just a little over a year ago. And I went into this retreat called Operation Restored Warrior. It's actually for warriors or whatever. It's a retreat type thing. And I got in there, and that I prayed. I had hope before I went in that I would end up coming out with something, with a personal relationship like Kendra had. And I came out of there, and it was amazing. It was February 18th of last year. People say that to me all the time. Well, what's the difference now? Well, now it's my personal relationship with Jesus. I can have as much passion for Jesus as I did for the pillow. And that's what I was always longing for. And that's the platform that God, this calling God had given me, and where, you know, just the fame, the awareness, and I can say, you know what, Jesus is real, and he is the way. And I always, one of my favorite verses right now is Proverbs 3, I believe it's 5 and 6, and it's trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and always acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And that's where it's became easy for me to pray, and my paths are directed.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. It seems to be one of the common misconceptions with religion in general, and also Christianity, that it is just about beliefs or going to church. But you're talking about an actual relationship with the Spirit of God. And that's such an important distinction to make.
Yeah. You wouldn't see me. I'm actually over in Israel right now as we speak. It's 4 in the morning over here, and I'm actually just got here yesterday. It's going to be. I'm looking forward to an amazing week over here where Jesus plays.
I heard that. Now, what are you doing in Israel? Are you part of a tour? Are you speaking there? What's your?
I'm going to be joining a tour with Jonathan Kahn. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he wrote The Harbinger.
Yes, I've heard him speak before.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine, and so I'm over here with we're going to be joining up with them in a couple of days. And then I get back and I actually speak in, should be one of my first time ever doing this. I'm for the National Day of Prayer on May 3rd, when I get back to, the United States.
Oh,
so
exciting.
God's put me in a position. I tell these guys, I'm a baby Christian. I don't know a lot of verses in the Bible, but I do have a story.
It's been a great honor to get to know you. I've been watching your commercials for years. I just can't turn on the TV anymore without seeing a commercial for that pillow. I've not tried one myself yet, but they sure look inviting.
Oh, they are amazing. They've helped so many people.
And I guess the idea behind this pillow is that it kind of, I guess for want of better phraseology, the pillow kind of works with you in your various positions.
No, you adjust it. You sleep. Sleep is all about the distance from your head to your bed. I just did finish last month one of the biggest sleep studies done in the U.S. ever, and it's sleep is about wherever you move my pillow, the patented pill locks into place. It's about that distance from your, like I say, to fill in. So you're not using your arm or folding pillows. You set your own height, so to speak, but yet it's soft. It's supportive soft. So you adjust the pillow to fit you rather than trying to adjust the pillow. So all of those other things where you hear, I do all my own manufacturing, 100% made in the USA and 10-year warranty, and you can wash and dry it and it stays cool. The 60-day money-back guarantee, those are all just bonuses. If it didn't work, give you the most amazing sleep ever, none of those other things would matter.
Well, I'm going to certainly try one. Now, there's been some controversy recently. A lot of people were boycotting Laura Ingraham's program, which you refused to do, and I understand it really put you in the spotlight. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, the first thing they did, I advertised when you opened the show about Fox, I advertised $1.5 million a week over all channels, every cable channel, just about every broadcast. So we're not exclusive to Fox.
And, well, that shows you how much I watch the other news networks then.
Yeah, right. So for me, when they came to me and they said the first rumor spread was that Mike was going to go down, Mike was going to take his ad down. And I heard from so many people. And I said, no, we're not taking our ad down. And nor do I intend to. And then they've asked me for different quotes. I said, every ad we do, we treat it like it's our own ad. It's either got to break even or make money. For my employees, we do what's best for my employees and my customers. And I'm not going to change my advertising around based on what anything that goes on out there that hosted. Can you imagine me having to monitor hundreds of stations a day about what everybody's saying? And this is I was put in the spotlight, and they attacked me on social media, and I'm going, why am I getting attacked here? And I think a lot of that had to do, with obviously with politics and with, I met the president a couple of years ago and a private meeting before he was president. And when I met him, I said, after I got out of there, I walked in, I said, yeah. He said, Mike, are you a Christian? You're always wearing your cross. And I said, yes, Mr. Trump. And I said, this is a divine appointment. And we had the most amazing meeting about the inner cities, and we talked about what he's going to do, bringing the jobs back and all the stuff he's already done. I walked out there and said, he's going to be the best president in history. And I think then that got thrown into the public light that, cause I went all in for our president. And then last summer I got invited to the White House, and I was with the White House.
Wow.
And they said, who's sitting here? And they said, Mike, the president, does he want to sit by you? It was a Made in America, made in the USA sub manufacturers summit. And how cool was that? He was, he just cares. He cares about the jobs here and everything. And then when these, when stuff comes up and people want to attack advertisers, attacking advertisers isn't good for anybody. The advertisers that do leave, that boycott certain people, they leave and they just pay more for other spots. The consumers end up paying for these things, and it's just wrong.
Can you tell us anything about Donald Trump in person that we don't necessarily notice when we watch him publicly?
that's the most, I'll tell you what, when sitting with him, he is the most, and I met him many times after that. I was just in Mar-a-Lago a couple of times over the last, I was there over Easter, invited by somebody else, and he came up to me, Mike, how you doing? Just, he's the most personable guy, and he's funny. He is funny. He loves the Lord. I believe he's a baby Christian that, when he came, they always say, well, 11 years ago, he did this or this and this. Well, you know what? I was a crack cocaine addict. I did a lot of things too before I found Jesus. I just found Jesus a year ago.
Well, we've all had a past, and frankly, he's doing such a good job that even though I'm a dedicated Christian, even if he wasn't a Christian, I'd say he still has been a very good president.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's doing the best job. And I don't know, I don't know where he is with his own faith and or with his own journey. I'm just saying that when I met him, that man is just so kind, and he's so down to earth, and he's just what I've watched and what I've observed even in office, he runs his like his business where he takes stuff in. He's such a good listener. He'll take stuff in and then he'll make the right decisions. He's so pragmatic and makes these amazing decisions. And when they say, for negotiating, he knows what to do. I mean, look what he's going to do. I mean, with North Korea and all these things and the tax cuts, he's getting more stuff done ever than when, and just think of people got on board and helped him.
I believe he may go down in history as one of the greatest presidents we've ever had, but a lot of times people that make the most significant imprints on history are very unpopular and come under a lot of criticism while they're actually alive.
Right.
And then we kind of turn them into saints later with 2020 hindsight.
Right. Right. Well, there's been like I said, after he won the, after the inauguration, which I was at, I was on CBS in Minnesota, and I was sitting in the green room, and I was with this gal, and I was telling her all about having met the president in the summer of 16 and having telling him what he's like and what he's going to do and how, all these things. And I was so, I don't go all in for anything unless I do my due diligence and I know what I'm backing. And I had never even been in politics before. Nothing like that. We backed anything. I didn't know anything about it. Well, but anyway, I'm telling this lady this, and she kind of got, I'm telling her all about him. And I had met Ben Carson. He's a friend of mine now, and we're doing all these things, and we're going to do all this stuff for the inner cities, and the president's going to do all this, bringing jobs back. And she got up and left the room. Well, then she went on ahead of me, and here she was, one of the leaders of the rallies that had happened at that moment in time against the president.
Oh, boy.
And here I went on TV after her, and she came up to me afterwards. She goes, well, now you know who I am. And she said, I sure hope you're right. And I said, well, you know what? I said, why wouldn't you want to give him a chance? He's our president. He was elected elected as president, and he's got some great things he's going to do. Rather than everybody fight it, if everybody got on board, so much could get done, because he's so amazing. And the minutes, people that are there, I do a lot of stuff with Ben Carson, and I know a lot of the ones, Kellyanne Conway, all of them inside. They're just so much that the people that I met, and they work hard, and they have great ideas, and it's going to be amazing. Well, we've already seen all the. Just can you imagine if you didn't have to fight everything every day, how much we'd be getting? That we'd be going.
Oh, if the Senate would only get rid of that idiotic filibuster rule, we could just get more legislation passed.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. But there is a lot of good things done. There's so much even that I don't even think the public knows about. And we, I'm working a lot because of my past with addiction. I have a foundation and a recovery network that I co-founded, where imagine where the addict can put in their in this app, they can put in their name or their, I mean, not their name, their age and what they're addicted to. And all these stories we've collected will pop up of his age group and stuff, where they made it through and they made it to the other side, and they made, they've gotten help, and they're now these mentors, and they become mentors within that for that person, and then there's all these places of help where he can go. And it's just, I bring it back to when I quit a month before I quit back in the day, that a friend of mine had come back to me, He came and he goes, Mike, what are you doing? He had found Jesus and been clean for 3 years after being him and I. He was my equal. We had both started doing cocaine in 1984 and then crack in the early 2000s. And I said, Dick, I had all these questions that only he could answer. I said, is it boring? And he says, no, man, it's not boring. And he said, but it was just I couldn't relate it to anyone else. So I used that same, you know, premise on this recovery network where you know, people can relate more and give more. It gives more hope when they're in their age group or maybe, you know, someone in the middle of Detroit, Michigan, this 22-year-old opiate addict might not be able to relate to someone that's in San Diego, California, that's a 40-year-old alcoholic, you know. But if we kind of match them up and the mentors with the addicts, it gives them hope, and they're going to find out when they get to you, they're going, wow, how did they get help? Well, the answer is Jesus, and that's what they're going to end up finding out, most of the stories.
Oh, this is amazing. Look at how God is using you, and in just such a short time. I think of Walt Disney, yeah, where they say his empire, one of the big slogans with Disney was it all began with a mouse. You're going to have to attach a little slogan that says it all began with a pillow.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. And no, and the pillow keeps getting bigger.
And the pillow keeps
41
getting bigger.
Million folks.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.